good afternoon, good evening. Welcome to this session of the Planning Commission regular meeting this Thursday, February 7th, 2019 is now in session. Let me see here. Mr. Custodio, would you lead us in the flag salute, please?
Absolutely. Please stand, face the flag, ready, salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Are we having a roll call, please?
Commissioner Barcelos?
Here.
Commissioner Conrad?
Here.
Commissioner Custodio?
Here.
Here.
Mayor Perez?
Here. Okay, our next line of business, it will be the election of officers for the next fiscal period. And I open it up to our commissioners for discussion and nominations. And we'll start with the election of the chair. Any wishes?
As a refresher, so yeah, usually the officials open to discuss, and then we would need a nomination from somebody for one person, and then we would do the motion and second if that person that's nominated is willing to be the chair.
Okay.
And then we'll do a motion and second, and we'll do the same thing for vice chair.
All righty. Mm-hmm. Sounds good. Your wishes, please.
Well, I would like for it to stay the same. I mean, I think we had a history of 2 years serving as chair and vice chair. So I nominate you, Mr. Perez, to remain chair for the next year.
And I'll be glad to do so.
Great.
I would like to second that motion.
Awesome.
I'm sorry. Can we do a first and second?
Sure. I'll do a first.
I'd like to do the second of that motion, please.
Commissioner Custodio?
Yes.
Commissioner Hudson?
Yes, please.
Commissioner Barcelos?
Yes.
Commissioner Conrad?
Yes.
Yes. And now we'll also open it up and for nomination for the vice chair. Any discussions? We pretty much discussed it already, but
I mean that was just
this
my
is just the formality of it.
It was just my wishes, and you know that was okay. my where I stood. But I definitely don't speak for everyone.
Could I have a nomination? If those are your wishes,
Chairman Perez, I nominate Ron Hudson as vice chair.
Thank you very much. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Ellen.
Commissioner Conrad.
Yes.
Commissioner Barcelos.
Yes.
Commissioner Custodio.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Congratulations, sir.
Congratulations, Mr. Perez.
I hope we do good this coming year.
You've done a great job.
All right. Public comment provides an opportunity for members of the public to address the Planning Commission on items of interest to the public within the Commission's jurisdiction and which are not already on the agenda this evening. It is a policy of the Commission not to answer questions impromptu. Concerns or complaints will be referred to the Community Development Director's office. Speakers should limit their comments to not more than 3 minutes. No more than 10 minutes per issue will be allowed. For items which are on the agenda this evening, members of the public will be provided an opportunity to address the commission as each item is brought up for discussion. So at this point, I'd like to open it up to the public for public comment. Having no one in the audience except our press person, thank you for being here. I will close the public comment section. Under a consent agenda category, recommended course of action for each item is made. Any commissioner may remove any item from the consent agenda in order to discuss and or change the recommended course of action, and the commission can approve the remainder of the consent agenda.
Chair, if I may, I'll remove it, just to add a note. On the December 5th meeting, I did present the November 8th minutes. I had it as a regular meeting and not a special meeting. So those were attached to the agenda, so it was just revised. The only thing is just find and replace. It went from regular to special meeting, and then we have So if you, if the commission so wishes, we can approve those in with one motion and second.
Okay, and we'll do so with the revised verbiage. So may I have a motion?
I'll do a motion to approve both.
Both?
Yes.
Okay.
I'll second that motion to approve both.
Alan?
Yes.
Commissioner Hudson?
Yes.
Commissioner Barcelos?
Yes.
Commissioner Conrad?
Yes.
Chair Perez?
Yes. Thank you. Administrative business, consideration of a one-year extension of time for Blossom Trail, vesting tentative subdivision map 6129 through resolution 2019-1. Staff recommends that the Planning Commission take the following action. A, approve a one-year extension of time for Blossom Trail, vesting tentative subdivision map 6129 for a 68 lot subdivision located in the southwest corner of Manning Avenue and Zumwalt Avenue. For that, I will turn it over to staff.
Thank you, Chair. Members of the Planning Commission, Ellen Moore, Associate Planner with the Community Development Department. Just to provide a quick refresher as to where this tentative map is. It's on the southwest corner of Manning and Zumwalt Avenue, and it was formerly, or it's currently known as the Blossom Trail subdivision. So if you see directly south of the orange square is Silas Bartsch School, and then to the west of it is Thiele Technology, but I think it's called BW now. And then Caddy Corner, you see in the top left corner of the image, that's where Save Mart, the shopping center is. So just to get you an idea of where this is located, this body did recommend approval of this subdivision map on November 3rd of 2016, and it was approved by council in January of 2017. So according to the Subdivision Map Act, maps, all tentative maps have 2 years. There's 2 year expiration period, if you will. So during that time, the tentative map is approved, and then the developer would come in and submit a final map, which shows the public improvement plans and everything. So they have 2 years to complete the improvements or enter into any agreements or anything, and then once the final map is recorded, and then the tentative map expiration essentially doesn't matter because now they are officially legal lots of record. So because this map was approved in 2017 of January, so the expiration date was 2019 of January. So as you can probably tell, that date has passed. So what had happened was there was a developer attached to this map. They went through the tentative subdivision map process on behalf of the property owner. And since then, I believe they were trying to market it a little bit, but they didn't get any takers. And then the property owner decided to carry the project forward as is. So maybe find different developers or different people to do the or complete the map. So because that time has passed, the property owner is requesting a one-year extension so that they have more time to market the property out to other potential buyers. Because this map, it has multiple uses on it. The plan that you can see on your screen shows their single family, multiple family, and then commercial along Manning Avenue. So it is a little bit trickier to find a developer that can do all of those things. You usually just find a developer that does single family and then another developer that develops multiple family. So it does take a little longer to try to get multiple people together to complete the map. So this is a general idea of what it could look like if the final map is completed. But the actual map, we're showing how the properties are going to be broken up. That is included in the staff report. So it should be noted that all that we are looking at tonight is just the extension of the map. So moving the expiration date to this evening in 2020. So February 7th of 2020. So we're not asking for any conditions to be amended or anything like that. It's just moving the expiration date. And the property owner has met all of the municipal code requirements for an extension. He gave us a letter in the appropriate amount of time, and that gave him a little bit of an extension of the expiration date. So we're still on track, if the Planning Commission so chooses, to approve the extension. But staff supported this project and map when it went forward in 2016 and 2017, and staff is still supportive of the project. We think if built out, it'll be a great project and provide a lot of amenities for the community and more housing, more commercial land, which is always good and what we anticipated in our general plan. So staff's recommendation is to approve the extension. And that concludes staff's report. I'll be happy to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you, Ellen. I think members of the commission, there's some members here that approved that 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And so now is the time that we'll open it up to the commissioners to voice your concerns, questions to staff, or comments. Commissioners?
I just have a question. Ellen, is this typical to do extensions on site maps like this?
Mm-hmm. It is pretty typical. Sometimes, for example, because we had two tentative maps that were approved in end of 2017, and so those might end up needing an extension. So it is pretty common. I'd say almost all of the maps that we've done in the last 10 years have usually asked for extensions.
Those that we saw in 2007, 2008, mm-hmm. of course, right around the housing crash and the recession, it was extremely common. Almost all maps were needing extensions at that time, those that were going to move forward. But even now, within the Subdivision Map Act and the two-year requirement that you have, it's very complicated to develop in California, period, with a lot of the environmental regulations and everything else that you need to deal with. So it is not uncommon at all to, even on a project that is moving along in good time, to still need a little more time before they can get to the submission of a final map.
Okay. And then that site plan takes up the whole area, if I recall, mm-hmm. of what is the project location. So it's that whole area. So that would just basically be planted onto this empty field.
Correct.
I was trying to recall.
Oh, sure.
From when we first got presented this.
Absolutely.
This plan, so.
Yeah, with subdivision maps, it kind of helps to look at where the single family residential is, because that is the actual lots that will be created. But okay. Once you look north to the commercial, they're cut up in weird areas to accommodate parking and that sort of thing. But you are correct. This could essentially be superimposed on the map. It's the same area.
And the owner is trying to find one developer to do everything?
Well, that was initially the thought process, I think, for the developer, but the property owner is now going to try to find multiple people. So once it's hard enough just to have one developer, but then adding on, there'll definitely be more time needed.
Ellen, you may have addressed this, but they could come back in a year and ask for another extension.
That's correct. Yeah, I believe the time limit, if I remember correctly, is 5 years. You can do that for 5 years.
So there is an end date?
Mm-hmm.
What happens after that end date?
It expires.
It expires, so none of this can happen. It would have to go through the whole process again?
Correct, okay. Yeah. And I think they could still technically submit the same exact map, but there may be certain things they'd have to update on it based on lot sizes, that if the city adopted anything differently, they would have to start from scratch, essentially.
Yeah, any resubmission would have to go with whatever the standards are at that time.
Mm-hmm.
So there wouldn't be any vesting or anything that they could bring forward if it were to ever expire. Anything resubmitted would have to be in conformance with those current standards.
So when does the five-year clock start?
I believe it would start this year, so it would be...
this date?
Today. Yeah, it would be this date. Mm-hmm. So 5 years from now.
So the most that they could get would be February 7th of 2024. Mm-hmm. Would be the furthest that you could take out an extension of this map.
And they since they only asked for 1 year, they would have to come back next year and ask for an additional year. I think they can go up to 2 years. The Planning Commission has approved a two-year extension in the past, but that still starts the five-year clock. Or the five-year clock has already started, I should say.
And you guys already had conversations with the owner about, mm-hmm. what possibly could go there? I mean, obviously we have an idea, but mm-hmm. are they confident that they can get individuals to house or to have, you know, to basically have someone to come in and fill those spots? Or is that still premature?
Yeah, I would say it's a little premature because we haven't heard of anyone specifically that's going in at this time. The property owner could be having conversations with people and hasn't told us yet. And we've also been, because there are some developers looking around and they come to us and ask where available land is. And so we would direct them to the property owner. So we try to help in any way we can. And this is kind of a sketch. So the single family home, the single family lots will definitely be in place. The apartment complex itself will look different. It might look different, but it'll be on the same spot of land. And then the commercial might move around a little bit. And the property owner can also come in at a later time and do lot line adjustments that can be done at staff level. You know, because if someone can come in and say, you know, I want to put a fast food restaurant here, but I need a little bit more space, so you can kind of move that around.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Sure.
Ellen, on page 2 of 2 of this explanation of this resolution, where it says, pursuant to Reedley Municipal Code, on that fifth sentence,
mm-hmm.
at the beginning there, December 11, that probably should say 2018.
Oh, yes, it should. I apologize. Yeah, they submitted the letter on December 11th of 2018. So that, because obviously it's January 10th has passed. So whenever they submit the letter, we have 60 days to approve it.
After that, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, so now, because the magic number or date has always been January 10th, 2017. Now the new... or 2019, but now the new date will be February 7th.
So everything starts from February 7th.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Correct.
Thank you.
Since I'm new on this one, on the picture part.
Sure.
There are some buildings down at the lower right-hand corner. I suppose those are all going to be removed.
Mm-hmm. They will be if they're not already, because I do remember... What's that?
They're still there.
Oh, they're still there. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Because if I remember right, they look like they were labor housing or something
exactly.
like that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Correct, yeah.
I think so.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Oh, over there. That's that's
yeah,
that's
the bottom.
Lower right-hand corner.
Barcelona
property.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
certainly not uncommon for a developer to leave items that are existing on a site. Really until building permits are pulled and everything is moving along in the development, they'll typically leave the site as is, which is, you know, a cost issue, right? So.
But if my memory serves me right, those housing haven't been used for many, many, many years.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Correct, yeah.
Okay, are there any other questions for staff or concerns? Okay, if not, we'll open it up to the public for public comment. Noting that there's no public present, we will close the public section part of it. And I will accept the motion for the resolution number 2019-1 to include A. I don't think I need to read it back to you folks. So.
No.
No.
Your wishes, please.
I would move that we approve that resolution 2019-1.
May I have a second, please?
I'll second that.
For the call.
Commissioner Hudson?
Yes.
Commissioner Conrad?
Yes.
Commissioner Barcelos?
Yes.
Commissioner Custodio?
Yes.
Chair Perez.
Yes.
Sorry,
oh,
my
no,
mic
your,
doesn't work.
Oh, your mic's out.
Yeah, so I wish my mic worked.
Well, you don't need a mic, buddy.
I don't. It's okay.
Oh,
oh shit.
Oh, thank you. Oh,
that's great.
Okay, going on to item number 5.
Just a question.
Yes.
This resolution doesn't go to the city council, is that right?
It does not.
Okay.
Going on to number five, consideration of the 2018 annual progress report for the Reilly General Plan and housing element through resolution number 2019-2. Staff recommends that the Planning Commission take the following action. A, recommend that the City Council of the City of Reilly accept the 2018 annual progress report for the Reilly General Plan and housing element. Ellen? Mm-hmm.
Yes, thank you, Chair. Members of the Planning Commission, Ellen Moore, Associate Planner with the Community Development Department. So it is that time of the year to present this report. We have been doing this for quite some time. It is a requirement by the state to show, to look at the progress of general plan implementation and housing element implementation. I would say that the emphasis is more on the housing element side of it, because recently the state has passed a new legislation that amended the report that we have before you. So some folks who have seen this before would see that it's newer. And I would kind of add that it is a giant Excel spreadsheet now, that we just submit that straight to the State Department of Housing and Community Development. So unfortunately, it's not very good. It's not very good to print out, but I can answer questions about specific numbers or anything. But essentially what is being tracked is the number of building permits that have been issued in the calendar year. If there's any housing applications that have been submitted, that is something that's new. We did include that just for the state's information in the narrative portion of the report, which is looks like this. It has bullet points of applications that we've submitted. This is page 3 of the general plan progress report. So it does show that, and it shows some of the commercial circulation projects we worked on, road projects like Reed Avenue Phase 2, that all helps implement the general plan. So, the emphasis is primarily on the housing element portion, which is the scary Excel spreadsheets that is Exhibit A and B. So, as you can see, I can summarize the charts pretty quickly here. We did receive a tentative subdivision map application in 2018 for 186 units, and this is the Rancho Vista project on the northeast corner of South Button Willow Avenue and East Duff Avenue. So we will be looking at that on February 21st. So that will be coming before the Planning Commission at that time. But because the application itself was submitted in 2018, now the state wants to see that to show that we're processing things in a timely manner. We also did get got two accessory dwelling unit applications, and I do have those site plans that I wanted to show you, which I thought was pretty interesting. So those are the two applications that we received in 2018. But the main thing that the state is looking at is this. Oh, yeah, you can't really read that either. I'm sorry. Yeah, the graphs, they ask for a lot of information. So one of the tables asks for building permits issued, certificates of occupancy issued, and then entitlements approved. So instead of having it be a huge block of text, this is what the state is looking at the most, and this is Table B in your packet. This is our RENA allocation progress, so the Regional Housing Needs allocation progress. So when we adopt a housing element, the state tells us how many housing units we need to build in 8 years. And so this time, the state gave us about 1,300 units to build. So the graph shows... The graph that's before you shows the years 2015 when we built 63 units. That included a Paseo 55 that year. That was where we got 55 units. In 2016, we only built 9 properties. I think those were all single family homes. And then 2017, similar numbers, we built 4. But in 2018, we built 23 units. 20 of which are the Elvia apartment complex, which is on Dinuba and Hemlock, which is under construction right now. So that was, we were, the permits were issued for that the last year. So this year, if it's done, which it looks like it's going fairly quickly, those would be included in our 2019 numbers for the certificate of occupancy issued. So we used to just look at building permits issued, but now the state wants a lot more information, so we get to give them that. So it does show that we have so far built 99 units, and we have 1,212 left in for by 2023. So, yeah. So this is always a fun graph to have because of the high number that we have. But do keep in mind that the housing element and the way to obtain our RENA numbers is also by having land available for housing development, and by that we mean that property is zoned for single family or multiple family development. So we do have land available for that, and by annexing in new property and providing other opportunities for housing, we are furthering that number. But the way that the state tracks it with these reports is they're just looking at building permits, so it does look kind of scary. But we will, we'll probably have, I'd say maybe by the end of the cycle, if all of the subdivisions that we've been approving and processing, we'll have at least 500 homes hopefully to include on here. So the interesting part about this as well is that the numbers, they are based on income category. So we have very low, moderate, and above moderate. So a lot of the housing units that we're looking at will fall into the moderate category. Some of them may fall into the low or very low, but we are supposed to have a pretty good range of both, but we will probably see more housing built in the moderate income level.
Ellen, could you explain the difference between a deed restricted and a non-deed restricted?
Sure. With that, usually that comes in with multiple family housing projects. If a multiple family housing project has to obtain a loan or they get state funding, they do have to have it's like a 50 or 55 year program. So the deed has 55 years. So the housing has to be affordable for 55 years. So they record that on the property so that if they try to sell it, they can't get rid of the affordability if they want to keep the funding for it.
Thank you.
Sure. And then a lot of other information we have to include is, you know, if it's deed restricted, which funding sources are they using? So there's a lot more detail in the other tables, but this is the main one that we're looking at this evening. And then just to show there were two applications for an accessory dwelling unit received. One of them will count for next year, but this was one that was done in 2018. And if you recall, we have looked at a couple of text amendments for these, which is basically adding an accessory unit on a single family or multiple family lot that has an existing residence on it. So the city is a little... we have some reservations about accessory dwelling units, just because the perception is that single family dwelling units should only have one unit on it. There's capacity concerns that we have because with the law, potentially, you can have whole blocks of single family residences having another unit in the back of the house or something like that. So that is something that the city is looking at, but the state is every year they're making them easier. And it is a good idea for to provide more housing, and there's rental income for the person that lives on the property and wants to add it. So so that is a hot topic recently, but the city was pleasantly surprised with the two applications that we got, because these are good examples of ADUs. So this property is at 1031 North Columbia Avenue. So this property is 90 feet wide by 406 feet deep. So this is a huge lot, and it is zoned as single family. Because what happened was everything kind of developed around it, so their whole back lot is just empty and full of weeds or something like that. So they're adding an accessory dwelling unit. They have the existing residence in the front, and so they're adding an ADU in the back, and there's still plenty of room on that lot. So this is a good example of infill development and ADUs that is helpful because it's using underutilized land for more housing, which is good. So I did just want to show you that, and it looks just like a single family home. It'll be set back about 75 feet from the existing residence. So there's good privacy there, and they can just extend that driveway all the way back.
Alan, out of curiosity, does that back of that house or property have a alleyway?
It does not. Mm-mm. Yeah, so
that's what I worry about these things here too, mm-hmm. The safety factor mm-hmm. involved.
Sure.
In the county, wouldn't this be considered granny housing?
In the county, that was a previous term for it. Yeah, but the state is calling it accessory dwelling unit, but it's similar. Yeah, where you just have another unit, and it's usually smaller. In somewhere else on the property.
Yeah, over the years they've gone through several names that they like the granny unit, the mother-in-law apartment, second dwelling unit, and the last year and a half or so the state wanted to bring all of those in and say, okay, let's refer to all of these as an accessory dwelling unit so that they could move forward with some additional regulations that they wanted to see. And at this time we are allowed to have some more say involved. We know how the state works a lot of times. If there's something they're interested in doing and they pass it down to the local level and it doesn't work the way they wanted it to, they'll add more regulation to it. Right now, we are able to actually have the person, the property owner, sign a covenant stating that they, as the property owner, will live in one of the units. So they will either live in the main unit or they themselves might even want to move into the secondary unit and rent out the main unit, which they could do. We might see that go away in the future. The fees as well are significantly reduced to build these type of items. And I think that the largest positive, of course, that we get here is the ability to add to your housing stock and utilize what would be underutilized land. But especially if you look at the time period where we are right now with the generations, right? You have the baby boomer generation that is aging. You know, we know that a lot of the services for aging adults, there's not enough facilities right now to even take care of them. And many of the families would prefer to take care of their own, right? So to me, this is one more opportunity that can allow the younger generation to also provide housing for the older generation within their family. So there's definitely some good benefits here, but you know, us as staff, we are always very mindful of the benefits, the pros, and the cons, and the potential problems that could happen. I think that's because we try to be very responsible as planners for that. So we are very mindful of the challenges that we think that we might be able to see here, and we've tried to do everything that we can within the regulations that the state has passed down to make sure that we're continually addressing those items. But so far, we're actually seeing some really good examples.
Mm-hmm. And this is another example. They look very similar because it's the same architect. So he can sell his standard plans out and do pretty well. But this is, and I'm sorry. So this property is, it's right behind, or it's two houses behind Walgreens. If you want to drive by and see there, I think this building permit was just issued this week, if I remember correctly. So you may see some building activity there. But this property is on South Sunset Avenue. So, Sunset is along here. So it is going north and south here. But the existing residence is right here. And then the proposed residence is in the back. So this lot is a little bit smaller, but it still does, the layout does work pretty well. This property is 199 feet deep, and then the accessory dwelling unit is about 64 feet behind the residence. You can still kind of fence somewhat of a backyard for either residence, and then the driveway is extended. And so I think in this instance, I think the property owners are living in the new unit, and then they're going to be renting out the unit in the front. That's my guess. But yeah, these are good examples because the lots are so large, and so it's just kind of a maintenance upkeep type thing. But there's, you know, everybody's not all squeezed together on one lot. So these are good examples of what we've seen so far. So that's good to see. And they do count towards our RENA numbers, so we can help address that as well. So that is about it. The other item on here, we also do show there's a lot of goals and objectives in our housing element, and we did list those and the progress there as well. I believe that's Table C, if I remember correctly. So we can, if you have any questions about those specific items or if you want to go over that a little bit more, I'm happy to do so. Otherwise, the entire report is in the staff report, and that concludes my report.
Thank you, Alan. I open it up to commissioners for discussion, concerns, or questions. Having none, I'll open it up to the public for public comment. And once again, having no one in the audience, we will close the public comment section of that. And we will consider processing this under Resolution 2019-2 to include A, 2019-2 and also A. May I have your wishes, please?
I'll make a motion to approve.
May I have a second?
I'll second.
Okay. Commissioner Custodio?
Yes.
Commissioner Barcelos?
Yes.
Commissioner Conrad?
Yes.
Commissioner Hudson?
Yes.
Chair Perez?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. That concludes our business portion of the meeting. And now the fun part.
Comic relief. Is that what? Well, thank you very much, Chair Perez. Appreciate it. Just a couple updates that we wanted to give. First, Ellen had handed out here the flyers here. I'm sure you've already seen them, but wanted to make sure that everybody still had a copy for the town hall meetings coming up. On Monday, February 25th, we are having one that I think the Planning Commission will be very interested in because it's very near and dear to planning staff. And that is the economic development one. I love the title there, Why Don't We Have a Target Yet? Which, believe it or not, is a question we get a lot. And so we'll actually have some interesting items to talk about there and hopefully be able to get additional feedback from the public, but also be able to talk about some of the myths, misconceptions, and hopefully share and learn, talk about some of the challenges of why economic development isn't just as easy as picking up the phone and encouraging somebody to come into your community, but some of the big challenges that you can have of getting them to actually come in. So wanted to do that. And for those of you that may have attended or even watched any of the live streams of the first town hall, that focused on homeless, we ended up having about 70 people in the room, which for a town hall meeting in the size of the city of Reedley, that is a phenomenal attendance number. To me, just highlights how much this community cares about what's happening in its community. So I'm hoping that the rest of them are going to continue to be that well attended as well. And I thought that I had grabbed 5 of these, so my apologies, they were a little slick and apparently I only grabbed 4, but these are the flyers right here for the groundbreaking for UHC. It's February 13th, set to begin at 11 a.m. So if you guys are interested in attending, take one to pass down. I also have them digitally if you'd like me to pass it along to you digitally as well. We're excited. We're excited for that. It's always exciting once you see a project go through all of its planning, its environmental, all of the approvals with the Planning Commission at the City Council and everything, and then you actually get to see dirt being turned and sticks and bricks going in the ground. It's an exciting thing. So we're definitely looking forward to that one. Then wanted to give the Planning Commission an update that at their last meeting, the City Council unanimously took action to approve the expansion and continuation of the Development Impact Fee Incentive Program. What that does is that provides 50% discount for development impact fees for any development that is taking place within the downtown core area, you know, a portion of our town that's at the 45-degree angle, anything that sits within that box, right? And then for the incorporated city limits as of January 1, 2019, anything that was in those city limits that would qualify as infill, meaning that it has urban development on three or more sides of the property, will get a 25% reduction off the development impact fees. So immediately following that meeting, I went back to my office and emailed a handful of developers that I know had been looking at Reedley or interested in Reedley. And within days, four of them already had meetings set up with me, and they wanted to talk about what can we do and where can we do it. So, I mean, this is a major impact. This is one of these type of things that takes a very expensive type of process, can often be very challenging for people to get things to pencil for them. All of a sudden, with discounts of that nature, these items make a lot more economic sense for them. They already wanted to be in Reedley, but the costs can be overwhelming. So with a discount like that, it can really help. And as we all know, you know, rooftops brings in additional economic activity, and additional economic activity spurs more rooftops, right? So it's a chicken before the egg, and as soon as you can get one there, they work together. So we're excited to see that hopefully continue to go forward and continue to work. Several months ago, the Planning Commission had gone through a change of zone application for Buttonwillow Avenue. We had for industrial. They went from planned industrial to a light industrial designation. There is now a company called Turbo Spas that has relocated there. We officially did all of their business license here in the last few days. So they are officially here in Reedley, and they're beginning to operate. So that is their actual headquarters and their manufacturing facility. Very excited to have them. If you go to their website, if you Google Turbo Spas and go to their website, their spas are awesome. I mean, so it's really, what's that?
Where are they located at?
They're down on Buttonwillow Avenue in the industrial area in what used to be Flexco.
Is it by close to Floral down there?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep, it is.
By the end of the Blossom Trail, basically?
Yeah right by near the corner of Huntsman and Buttonwillow. So we're excited to see them. That was something that had been being worked on for a while. So to finally get to see them, hey, business license in hand and starting to be on site, that's a great thing. And then if you guys remember, we had put in for a grant with the Department of Conservation and were successful in receiving or at least being awarded funding back in 2007 to do our farmland preservation program, which was part of our general plan mitigation implementation, our general plan implementation. The Department of Conservation, between the approval in 2017 and just yesterday, it took them that long to get us a draft of a contract to look at. So that's significantly longer than any contract I had ever seen. I know they had a lot of internal challenges and some turnover and people changing roles and whatnot a long time. But I wanted to highlight that for you guys because obviously you haven't heard anything about it. And I didn't want the Planning Commission feeling as though, hey, we got this grant, we have these dollars, how come there's not activity? We've just been waiting for that agreement to come back, that draft agreement, so that we can work on it, get everything signed, and get a consultant in place and start working. So in the next, I would say 3 months, we should be able to see a consultant in place, and you guys will start hearing more about that. And then Reedley,
May I interrupt?
Yeah,
exactly what does that mean? What will we be able to do with it?
So the goal that we had there is all about preservation of agricultural lands and facilities. So what we will be looking at is a plan about how does Reedley want to be able to attack that exact criteria. Do we want to do an easement program? Do we want to talk about higher fees associated to active agricultural land? How are we making sure that we're correctly, continually interfacing with Williamson Act properties? Those type of items. So it'll really end up being a plan that gives us a strategy on how we want to make sure that we are conscious of our farmland preservation activities. Yep, so that's what we're thinking. Because there's a lot of different angles to take it from, right? And some of them work really well for some communities and might not work well for others. So we wanted to be very conscious about how we're taking a look at that one. And then I just wanted to notate when the agenda had gone out, it stated that for March 21st, that there were no agenda items at that time. That has actually changed since the release of the agenda. So we will have two items. set for March 21st, and so we're hoping that that date is going to work for the Planning Commission, and please let us know if that date does not work, and we can see if we can make some adjustments here. But we are going to be presenting the update of what used to just be the pedestrian master plan. It is now called the bicycle and pedestrian master plan. We updated it as the state and then even the region. There's now something I'm sure you guys have heard. They refer to all of that type of transportation now as active transportation. Walking, bicycling, jogging, whatever it's going to be, active transportation. It's a very big thing at the state. They have a lot of programs now that have put a lot more dollars into emphasizing that, getting out of your car, being more active in your transportation. And then as that came down to the regional level, the regions with the Fresno Council of Governments, they did a regional active transportation plan. And while Reedley has put in for some of those dollars into that program, we haven't been as successful over the last couple of years. In fact, have not been successful at all. And really the majority of the agencies that have been successful are Fresno and Clovis. So we took a look at, well, what are they doing that we aren't? And the first thing was they had local plans. So we said, okay, we have a pedestrian plan right now, but it was in need of some refreshing. So we approached the Fresno Council of Governments, and they have a what's called a circuit planning program, or a planning consultant right on board for the member agencies to be able to utilize for free. If you have a planning item that you can take to them and you provide them with an application, they'll actually work on your items at no cost in collaboration with your staff. So we knew those that was an opportunity there. We approached them and said we had this item that we wanted to update. Over the last few months, they had worked on that, utilizing all of the outreach that had been done at the state level, at the regional level, and associated with the regional items, all the outreach that had taken place in Reedley over the last couple of years associated with the regional plan. They rolled all of those items in and are going to provide us with an update of our local plan. So it brings it more in line with the regional plan and updates the old data that we had in our previous plan. It's not anything that the Planning Commission would need to take action on, but we wanted to make sure that you guys had the opportunity to see it. It's a great looking document, and I think that it's really going to line us up much more in a much more competitive nature as we go forward with ATP funds in the future here. So funding for sidewalks and additional bike trails, expansion of the Reedley Parkway and so on. So that one will be part on March 21st. And then second, we were in February going to do an economic development workshop with the Planning Commission, but then we decided when the town hall idea came out, we would hold that one off until March. So at that meeting with the Planning Commission, we would be able to deliver to you the feedback that we got at the town hall meetings, have a little more good content for you guys there. And then in addition, you will have had all of the chamber who did their business survey that wrapped up a little over a month and a half ago. They'll be delivering that to the chamber board, and then that item will actually end up going to city council for an informational item here in the coming month. And in the month of March, they'll be kicking off their consumer survey. And the goal of that consumer survey is to say, we got great feedback from the businesses. Now we're going to ask the consumers similar questions, but from the consumer angle, and they're going to compare and contrast, right? And see, you know, where is the support being given to the businesses and the consumers lining up, and where does it seem to not be lining up, and what can we do to provide the supports on either side to improve businesses and to improve access for consumers and so on and so forth. So we'll have both of those items to come back as part of the workshop item here for the Planning Commission. So if you have questions for us at that time, like, why don't we have a target yet, and you haven't felt like they've been answered, throw them out. That's the whole point of what we want to do. Economic development is an interesting spider web of items, and we always want to be listening to concerns and feedback that you guys have, and always want to be prepared to give information to make sure that you guys know too what we are doing and how we are trying to work to make sure that economic development in Reedley is active and moving forward. So with that, I know that was a huge amount of stuff, but we have been very busy, and I want to make sure that you guys know that, and you know we're here to answer questions as needed. So with that wraps up my report.
Rob, have you been approached or have you been involved with a potential juice factory coming to our area?
We have, actually. You know, there's been two different companies. There's one that is an American company that's been interested in expanding some of their facilities. And there's another one that's an international company, and they've been looking to come in. And they want their house not just to be, you know, in the Central Valley where ag is so big. They want Reedley specifically. So we've been working with them. One of the big challenges that you have is where, right? We're over 80% capacity within the city limits. It's a good problem to have because that really supports your real estate values, but it's a challenge because then when you do have people that come in, there's not a whole lot of space that's available. So we've been actively working with the property owners that have vacant land right now to try to encourage them to be interested in moving that land and selling that to those that are interested in developing, and working with those right now that have existing facilities that might be interested in selling or upgrading those facilities. The majority of activity that you see now, people want to buy. It used to be build the suits, you know, lease to suit, those type of items. That's not a model that majority of businesses are interested in now. They want to own their own facility as opposed to leasing or renting. That's a big challenge and has been a big hurdle to overcome with a lot of the property owners who have a very strong belief in buy and hold, right?
Yeah.
So
I don't want to lose that project to Dinuba.
I don't want to lose any project to Dinuba for the most part. Yeah, I think that's happened enough in the past already.
Exactly.
I don't need to get any more of our stuff.
And they have a good location for it too, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Any other questions for staff? Do you have any concerns you'd like to voice? Okay. Shall we wrap it up?
The March 7th meeting, I will not be able to be here.
Okay.
That's
yeah.
$50
I think
fine,
I sent
it?
I think I sent an email to Ellen letting her know I'm going to be at a cemetery conference.
No problem. And at this time, we don't have anything for that date.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we were going to do the
So no meeting on the 7th?
Correct.
Oh, okay.
As of this time, unless something time sensitive comes up.
And I won't be available on the 21st unless I come late.
Okay. There's nothing at this time that would be on that agenda where action by the Planning Commission would be needed?
On February 21st?
February 21st. February 21st. My apologies.
So you won't be here on the 21st?
I could be here if it's going to be long. It looks like it might be a long meeting.
Yeah.
So I could be here about 5:30-ish.
Okay.
Yeah. So if I'm still needed, I can definitely come. I have a training and it's like right at 5.
Okay.
And I couldn't get out of it, so.
Okay. Does staff have anything else they want to share? No? Okay. Nothing else? If not, this meeting is now adjourned.